Now, with the latest from the world of technology, this is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenwick.
Lots to talk about.
Tech Guide.
It's a very well-rounded product, combines great design, great technology, lots of excellent features.
Tech Guide.
This is why Samsung has seen a huge surge, why their profits are up.
Keeping you updated and educated, this is the Tech Guide Podcast.
This is not an ultrabook. If you're looking for something small, slim and lightweight, then you need to look elsewhere.
Tech Guide.
Probably one of the most impressive little devices I've seen in quite a while.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenwick.
Hello and welcome to Tech Guide episode 89. And I'm actually coming to you from New York City. I'm here for a HTC launch. I can't say anything about it at this stage. There's still an embargo in place, but rest assured, I'll have plenty of news for you on episode 90 of the Tech Guide Podcast next week. But in the meantime, we're going to be talking about the new Samsung Galaxy Tab Pro and Note Pro that are out in stores from this week. We're going to also check out the new Motorola and LG smartwatches. And then we're going to move on to an interesting story about how scammers are actually using the news of the missing Malaysian Airlines flight to lure users to malicious websites. In the Tech Guide reviews, we're going to check out the new Denon soundbar and also look at some ID TV products that can switch, that can transform your smartphone and tablet into a television. In the Tech Guide interview, we're going to talk to Netgear's David Henry about the latest products from the company. And speaking of Netgear, the Tech Guide podcast is proudly brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one Wi-Fi brand. Lots to talk about, so let's get the show on the road. Well, Samsung have just released the new Galaxy Tab Pro and Note Pro tablets. These were the tablets they unveiled at CES in January. These are their very latest Galaxy products running the Android KitKat operating system. The Galaxy Tab Pro has got a 10.1-inch screen, just a slight improvement on the previous 10.1 Galaxy Tab. It's pretty thin. It's only 7.3 millimeters thick, weighs in at 469 grams. Now, this has got the 10.1-inch screen. It's got a high-resolution WQXGA display, which has got more than 4 million pixels, so it's quite sharp. It's also got a new multi-window feature, so you can run two applications side-by-side. It's also got a quad-core 1.9 gigahertz processor, 2 gig of RAM, 16 gig of internal memory, and it's got a micro SD slot, so you can expand that up by up to an extra 64 gigabytes. But moving on, the most interesting, in my opinion, is the new 12.2-inch device, the Galaxy Note Pro. I was particularly interested in this product when I had my hands on with this on the Samsung stand at CES, and I think you're going to see a lot of marketing around this product. It too has that 4 million plus pixel display, but its multi-window capability, it can actually go up to four different applications that you can run at once. You can actually put 25% of the screen could run a separate app. Because of the larger screen, the 12.1-inch screen gives you a lot more screen real estate to be able to do that and comfortably multitask. I'm talking you can run one application in one window, so it might be email, you might have a document in another, and you can actually transfer content from one to the other. You can actually drag a photo from one of those windows to a document, some other text, so you can really work around it using that. It's a true multitasking device that Samsung are going to aggressively market for professionals, for entertainment purposes too. So it is really a laptop replacement, and there are several accessories like keyboards, and don't forget it's got the S Pen as well, so you can write directly on the screen. It's got handwriting recognition as well. So this is going to be, I think, one of the hero products for Samsung in the tablet space. And the good news is that it is available in stores from now, from today. The Galaxy tablets you can purchase from the Samsung Experience stores in Sydney and Melbourne, as well as, of course, the major electronics retailers. I'm going to get my hands on these devices any day now, and you can stay tuned and rest assured that there is going to be a full review of products right here on the Tech Guide podcast.
Tech Guide. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Well, late last week, we woke up to some interesting news from Motorola and LG, who coincidentally came out with news of new smartwatches. Now, I think the reason they came out on the same day was because the watches are running a new Google operating system called Android Wear. So it's obvious that Google's plans are. It has created its own operating system for wearable devices. Now, we're talking smartwatches here at the moment. Down the track, it could be used in activity bands and trackers and things like that. But it is a real shot across the bow to any other manufacturer who are thinking of creating a product, a wearable product, that there is now an operating system that will run on it. Let's first of all have a look at the Moto 360. Now, when I first looked at this product, I thought it was a real watch. It's got a round face and it's got a digital representation of an analog face. So they had hands and a second hand, but that was actually a digital representation on a round digital screen. So it's got Google Now Assistant. So on your wrist, it can tell you when your next meeting is, how long it's going to take you to get there, the weather, any other relevant information you want. You can even search from your wrist. You can take and make and receive calls, messages, emails. So it has all those smartwatch capabilities. While it is still looking like a real watch, it's actually quite stylish. So Google the Moto 360. It's going to be available in the US summer. They haven't specified a date or a price, but it is coming. There is a video of put on Tech Guide that was put out by Motorola the morning of that announcement. But the very same day, LG also came out with news of their G Watch. Now, this has got a squarer design. It's got a black face. And it is, of course, going to give you all of those notifications, the ability to call a taxi, send and receive text messages, make restaurant reservations right there on your wrist quickly and easily using the small touch screen. Now, LG were a bit tight-lipped about any details about the product, that they weren't giving out any specific specifications or any other information. They didn't even give a date or a price. But they did call this announcement, the G-Watch, as, and I quote, a statement of intent in the growing wearable space. So LG, that they released an activity tracker, the LifeBand, back in January at CES. But this is obviously taking it that step further. And no doubt the tracker will probably talk to the smartwatch if the smartwatch doesn't already have its activity, its tracking capabilities. That's, I think, a no-brainer when it comes to smartwatches. Seeing that you're wearing it the whole time, you want it to track your steps. You want it to be that activity tracker to track your movements. You may even track your sleep as well if you want to sleep with it. But look, the wearable space is really hotting up now with Motorola and LG really sort of turning up the heat, if you like, in the space with these new products. But as more and more products enter the market, everyone is still waiting for the other shoe to drop, which is Apple's intentions with the what has been rumored to be called the iWatch. Now, no matter, this rumor has been quite persistent. The iWatch, it's going to be released later this year, according to the rumors. It's going to have a touchscreen display, scrollable screen, and of course is going to talk to your to your iPhone as well as the iPad. So we're waiting with bated breath to see what Apple are going to do in this space. I think we can assume that there is something coming. I think it's going to be conspicuous by its absence if they don't actually do something in the smartwatch space. So as soon as we find out any information, any official information, you'll hear it right here on Tech Guide. Well, a story that continues to fascinate the world is the missing Malaysian Airlines Flight 370. It's been now nearly 3 weeks since the last sign of the aircraft. There's been numerous theories floating about where the plane went. Was it an accident? Has it crashed? Has it been hijacked? Has it landed somewhere? Is it in the bottom of the Indian Ocean? There's all this news flying about, and everyone is just fascinated with this story. And So much so, there's so much interest in this story that it's drawn out the scammers. The scammers have come out of the woodwork and want to take advantage of the intense interest around the Malaysian Airlines story, that they are actually creating fake stories, fake news items that are obviously sensational and over-the-top headlines to force people, out of curiosity, to click on this link, which look like reputable links from companies like CNN, BBC, and these links are not only being sent by email, they're appearing even on social media. They've even appeared on Facebook, and Facebook are battling now to clear these false links. But if you do happen to click on one of these links, the idea of that is to attract the user to a malicious website. Now, what does a malicious website do? It serves up malware, malicious software that installs itself on unprotected computers. Now, cyber criminals and hackers, they're hoping that this intense interest will drag people to these websites. And if you have an unprotected computer, that means if you don't have a internet security software that is giving you warnings that you're going to a potentially malicious site, then your computer could quite possibly be targeted. These scammers could install things like keyloggers, Trojan horses, so they can actually keep an eye on what you're doing on your computer, including typing in your bank passwords, your bank account numbers, things like that, that could lead to, down the track, a major headache. You might get your bank account cleared out, identity theft. There's all these risks involved. And it's a very lucrative industry, which is why the cyber criminals go to so much trouble to attract users to these types of sites, to try to trap us to giving up our information. So best advice is for you to obviously check out where the story is going to lead you to. And look, if this headline looks like it's quite sensational, and if you've kept up with this news, you know very well that that MH370 has not been found in the Bermuda Triangle. The passengers aren't alive. We don't know anything like that. These are the sort of headlines that are attracting users to click on these links. So be very careful. Make sure you got your protection on your computer. You don't want to end up as a victim of this story, because everyone is combing the internet to look for this sort of information. They're searching online. You don't want to fall into these traps. Best thing to do, delete any suspicious emails and ignore links that appear to be just so far-fetched and sensational that they can't be true. If you want to read more about that story, you can do that at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finnick.
The Tech Guide podcast is proudly brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one Wi-Fi brand. Well, they've just released the Netgear Nighthawk. This is the AC1900 smart Wi-Fi router. You can get the fastest Wi-Fi currently available with the Netgear R7000 Nighthawk smart Wi-Fi router. Built with gaming, streaming, and mobile devices in mind, this next generation gigabit Wi-Fi router has a 1 gigahertz dual core processor and delivers the ultimate in Wi-Fi speed and range, so you can enjoy lag-free gaming or video streaming with less buffering around your home. The Netgear Nighthawk is packed with advanced features, from prioritizing gaming, music, and video to automatic backup using ReadyShare Vault for PCs and Apple Time Machine for Max. So if you're looking for the ultimate in speed, range, and advanced features for your home network, upgrade to the Netgear Nighthawk R7000 smart Wi-Fi router and get ready for the extreme. You can check out the Nighthawk at netgear.com.au/Nighthawk.
Tech Guide. Now, a Tech Guide review with Stephen Finnick. Tech Guide.
All right, first up on the Tech Guide reviews this week is a product from Denon called the DHT S514. Now, what is that, you ask? It's a soundbar with an accompanying wireless subwoofer. And I have to say, I put this product through its paces and I was really sorry that I had to give the review unit back. That's how much I liked it. Now, as we know, TVs are quite thin, they're quite sleek, and the downside of that, one of the things that suffer as a result is that the speakers are quite small and they don't really give you much audio playback. They don't give you much quality. You know, the TVs are thin and so is the sound. That's kind of how the industry is going. And the soundbar market and the technology has been developed and improving drastically. The market is very popular. So a lot of people who are spending big money for a great picture quality, nice big screen TV, and are also investing in a soundbar to improve the whole experience. Now, I've got to say, the Denon soundbar, probably one of the better ones we've heard, the DHT S514. It's about a meter long. It's black. It has small feet, adjustable feet, so that if you want to sit the soundbar over the stand, in case the stand protrudes from the front of the TV, it'll sit comfortably. It can also be mounted on the wall if you've got a wall-mounted TV. This is equally at home mounted on the wall below it. But what I quite like about it, though, is the fact that it can create virtual surround sound. There's multiple speakers within the soundbar itself, so and it can create this sound. So you're going to be hearing sounds from parts of the room where there are no speakers, which is really if you want to sort of create that surround sound home theater feel without having to scatter speakers around the room. Now, I'll put it out there straight away. It's not as good as having speakers around the room. So all those home theater aficionados are still going to want to have speakers side, rears, in the ceiling, wherever they want, 7.1, 9.1. This soundbar is not going to outperform actual speakers. But for those who want to enhance the experience, to enjoy a degree of surround sound, I have to say it's pretty impressive. That is very simple to set up. It's quite affordable. This is the solution for you. Speaking of simple, it just takes one connection, HDMI to the TV. If you have an ARC HDMI connection, which is an audio return channel, that makes things a bit easier. But even if you don't, you can connect it using digital coaxial audio outputs as well. So you can getting the decent sound quality through the bar. And, of course, you need to connect it to power. But you will notice an amazing difference. So you'll be thinking, wow, the sound coming from your TV that you just take for granted, that's the sound that comes from your TV. Once you hear the sound coming from the Denon soundbar, you're going to think, boy, how long have I been missing out on all this? So you're really going to hear the difference. Having a wireless subwoofer that connects this really easily to paired over Bluetooth, you're going to hear that bass and that added authority to your soundtrack. So if you're watching action movies and things like that, there's explosions and loud noises are going to come through loud and clear and really enhance the experience. Now, I'm a big Star Wars fan, and George Lucas, creator of the Star Wars universe, once said that sound is 50% of the experience. And he actually went on, when he released Star Wars in cinemas, he actually specified speaker setup so that the audience would experience sound like never before. Now, those setups back then in the 1970s created were the basis for now the home theater setups that we're experiencing today in terms of left, right, center, rears. This setup of speakers was actually the brainchild of George Lucas, the Star Wars creator. So he was always a fan of sound. I'm a fan of sound, and every one of you should be a fan of sound as well. And the Denon soundbar can really help you enhance the experience. You've already got great picture quality. Now you need good audio quality. The Denon DHT S514 soundbar with the wireless subwoofer is priced at $999. Very affordable. You get a lot for your money. If you want to read the full review, you can do that at techguide.com.au. Now, smartphones and tablets are quite useful products, but with the ID TV products, they can be turned into a digital television. Now, the ID TV products, the previous versions had obviously the 30-pin connectors for the older iPhones, but now they've come up with two new models, one of them the ID TV Mobile, which is the new Lightning connector, the 8-pin connector, so it can connect to the iPhone 5 and above, and the latest iPads, and it will turn that iPad and that iPhone into a television. You download the free app, tune in the channels, and you can watch TV on the go. There are three aerials, an extendable aerial, an extended aerial, so it's got a longer cord so you can position the aerial in a better reception place, And it's got an internal aerial connection so that you can connect your wall aerial connection and cable to the IDTV. And you don't need to buy a second TV. You can turn your iPad or iPhone into a television. So IDTV Mobile, that's priced at $110. It's about the size of a 20-cent coin, about a centimeter thick. The pictures of the device are on Tech Guide. But that's not the only product that IDTV has released. They've released the new IDTV Wi-Fi. Now, it's about the size of a matchbox. And what it does, it creates a Wi-Fi hotspot. So what you do, whether you've got an iPhone or an Android or whatever device you're using, Android, smartphone or tablet, iPad or iPhone, you just connect to that wireless hotspot, which is the IDTV Wi-Fi, and it then streams live digital television to your device. Now, not only can you watch TV within range of these products, you can also record TV if you want to as well. So if you've got space on your device, you can record a TV program to watch later if you want to. Now, you're never going to miss your favorite TV show or sporting event ever again with the IDTV Mobile. These devices are so small, you can easily fit them in your pocket. When you've got time to watch something, you can whip them out, connect the IDTV Mobile if you've got an iPhone or iPad, or connect to the IDTV Wi-Fi hotspot to watch TV as well. Now, the IDTV Mobile is priced at $110. The IDTV Wi-Fi is $149.95. And they're both available now from mrmobile.net.au. He's one of the distributors here in Australia, and he's a good friend of Tech Guide. If you want to read more about those, you can do that at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. Now, Tech Guide interview.
Tech Guide.
Now, our Tech Guide interview is with with Netgear's David Henry. Now, Netgear, a sponsor of the program, Netgear's David Henry came to Australia just last week to talk about the products that were announced at CES. And these include not only the Nighthawk, which we all know about and I've spoken about on the program, but a couple of new products that have just been released as well. One of them is the Netgear Trek, and I'm going to review this on Tech Guide in the coming days. This is a travel router. Now, for anyone who travels a fair bit, this is a device that you shouldn't be without. It creates a little Wi-Fi network within your room. I'm actually using it right now in New York. I've got the Netgear Trek in the wall. It's created my own Wi-Fi network in the room. So rather than paying for multiple internet connections, I pay for one and can share that with the whole room, with my wireless devices, my smartphone, my tablet, my laptop, all coming through the Netgear Trek. But the other included feature is the fact that it creates a firewall. Now, how many times have you been in a hotel and you can see the other devices on the networks? And in some cases, you can even look at the computers and look in their iTunes collection. You can look at stuff on their computer. This creates firewall protection so that doesn't happen. But it doesn't end there. This device is also can also act as a charger. It's got a USB slot, so when it's connected in the wall, one end of it is actually a plug. The other end is the aerial that flips open. And on the bottom is where you connect the LAN cable, so that you connect the internet. And there's also a USB port, so you can charge your smartphones or other USB-powered devices, all from the one product. David also spoke about a couple other products and even a house in San Jose that Netgear owns to test these products in a real-world environment. It was a really interesting chat, and here's what he had to say when I spoke to him earlier.
Well, David, welcome to Australia once again. Good to see you here again, and you're here to talk about some of Netgear's new products, including the new AC range extender. Now, there are some interesting stats I've been told about the use cases for this and how you're helping customers use this product in a better way.
Yeah, we've been selling range extenders for several years now, and we listen to our customers, we listen to our installed base, and we surveyed them and asked them, where do you put your range extender? And we were very surprised to find out that 20% of them were putting their range extender in their wireless dead spot, which for you and I may not make sense, but for a lot of folks it makes a lot of sense. And the problem with that is if you put the range extender in your dead spot, it can't hear the signal of your router to repeat it.
Yeah.
So what you really want to do is put it closer, halfway between your router and your dead spot. So 20% of the people were not using the product correctly. We see it as our problem because we can build the best products in the world, but if the customers aren't using them correctly, they're not getting the best user experience, it's not solving the problem, then that's Netgear's fault. So we decided to fix that with this product.
Of course. So on the product now, there are now indicator lights. Can you explain that? So it helps you position the range extender in the right place.
Exactly. So as soon as you set up the extender, there are two arrows on the top, on the front of the extender, and one of them pointing towards the router, and one of them pointing towards your dead spot. If the arrow starts flashing pointing towards the router, that means your extender's too far from the router. You're not going to get a strong signal to repeat. Mm-hmm. So you move it back. If the extender's pointing towards your dead spot, it means your extender is so close to your router that you're not giving the person a performance boost.
Yes.
So it'll guide you. You just plug it, unplug it, move to a new room, plug it back in. And so we've really helped our customers. In fact, of those in our beta test that use those arrows, 80% of them got a better connection after replacing their extender.
Of course, and this is a vitally important product in your lineup. It is very popular, isn't it? So being able to offer this best performance is critical, isn't it?
It is. I mean, the range extender product category is the fastest growing category within Netgear's consumer products, and it's primarily because people are using mobile devices, tablets, and iPads, and mobile phones in areas in the home that they just weren't using with their laptop.
Sure.
So they're noticing these dead spots. And, hey, the network is so important. Being online is so important. We're addicted to it. Yeah. And so we need these extenders to give us coverage to those places we didn't have coverage before.
We are addicted to it. I think one way of punishing my children is unplugging the router so they can't use the internet. So absolutely,
that's cruel.
We are addicted to it. Well, no, they soon jump into line, though, mate.
Yeah, that's true.
One good thing. But another product that's really interesting is the Netgear Trek, which is a multi-use product. I'll let you explain. It is not only a router, it's a wireless access point, it's also a charger. Yeah. Take us through it, the Netgear Trek.
Sure. Netgear Trek is for the people who take treks, the business traveler, someone who's on the road a lot. And it's originally designed so that when you're in a hotel and you're connecting to the hotel's internet, you can share that internet connection among many devices. Yeah. Some hotels like to make you pay for every device. Mm. Some hotels only have a wired internet connection and not a Wi-Fi. So with Trek, it's a travel router. You take it with you, you plug it in the hotel, and you can share that internet connection across all of your devices. In addition, it provides a nice firewall protection between you, your devices, and everyone else in that hotel room.
So no one's going to be able to tap into your connection and see what's on your computer and things like that. That's actually possible, isn't it, if you're in a hotel sharing the same connection?
Exactly. In fact, in the hotel I'm staying at on this trip here to Sydney, I opened up the Netgear Genie, and then the Netgear Genie has a map of all the devices on the network. I saw 120 devices on the network. Huh. Those were all the guests in this hotel room. So if I could see them, well, that means they can see me. So I plug in the Trek, and now I have a nice partition between us and them.
Right, and not only is it a router, but it's also a charger.
Yes, because, again, we learned this from traveling. You go to a hotel, you plug in this Trek travel router, and you realize, hey, that's the only power outlet in the hotel room. They don't give you enough.
Yeah.
So the Trek also has a USB port that you can use to power and charge, for example, your smartphone or your tablet.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're based in San Jose,
yes,
near San Francisco, and I understand that you have a test house.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a normal looking home that Netgear uses to test all their products. A real world testing scenario. Tell us about that.
Yeah. You know, our products are used in people's homes, and in order to deliver the best product for the home, we have to mimic the home environment. There's only so much you can test in the laboratory. There's only so much you can test on a manufacturing line. You have to test products in a real home. So we actually rent out a home in San Jose, in the heart of the Silicon Valley, and we've got a bunch of engineers who spend all day, every day, walking in and out of that house, and we set up furniture, and we set up routers, and we set up TVs and smartphones, and we test in a real home what it's like, what the wireless performance is like, what it's like when you have interference, what it's like when you have neighbors who are doing things. So we really can hone our products towards what you might experience in your home.
Sure. So what must the neighbors think, all these Netgear engineers walking in and out with boxes? They must think, what's going on in here?
Yes, they have. They definitely have suspicions. There have been phone calls about us, but we've put them at peace.
But it's all straight, everyone. No need to worry.
All of our neighbors get free router.
But on the 802.11ac front, that's obviously the new latest and greatest Wi-Fi standard, and obviously a priority for Netgear. And that is sort of the focus of the products moving forward, is that faster beamforming technology. Just tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, so 11AC wireless standard. We started to ship 11AC products almost 2 years ago, a little less than 2 years ago. And the adoption has grown very, very quickly. Mm-hmm. Smartphones, most of the new smartphones will support 11AC. The MacBook Air supports 11AC. Mm-hmm. And AC is all about speed and range. Mm-hmm. It gives you much faster speed at long distance. And you mentioned a technology called beamforming. What beamforming does is the wireless signal, instead of just broadcasting in all directions at the same time, the wireless signal is now focused towards where your devices are. Mm-hmm. And Netgear has been pioneering this beamforming technology. In fact, one of the wireless routers that is just now launching here in Australia is called the Nighthawk, mm-hmm. the R7000 Nighthawk. That Nighthawk has perfected the beamforming, so you can give an experience even for your older devices. And you'll notice when you have an old iPhone or an old laptop that doesn't have 11AC, with the Nighthawk, you still get better performance, and that's a lot of it is because of the beamforming technology.
Fantastic. David, thanks for your time. Wi-Fi is so important, as yes. As my family clearly knows.
Yes.
Appreciate your time today. Enjoy your stay in Australia.
Thank you.
Tech Guide. Now, answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
Now, one question I do get asked a fair bit, and I thought I'd talk about it on the Tech Guide Help Desk this week, is Android 4.4 KitKat. Now, this is not the latest chocolate that you're going to buy from the convenience store. This is Android's latest operating system. Now, Android's operating systems moving up the alphabet in, obviously, alphabetical order, and 4.4 is KitKat. The one before that was Ice Cream Sandwich, and the one before that, I think it was Honeycomb, Jelly Bean, sorry, was the one before KitKat, and then Ice Cream Sandwich was before that. So you get the picture. KitKat is the very latest one, Android 4.4. And the question I've been asked by so many Android users is, when is my current Android device going to be able to update to Android 4.4? Now, this is a pretty complicated question because there are no real clear answers here. There are some clues, which I'll give you in a sec, but it's not as easy as updating your iPhone operating system. If there's an operating system update on an iPhone, everyone gets it. It's very easy to do. It's given out at a certain time, and it's just done. Because Android is used by so many different manufacturers, so many different devices, so many different screen sizes, so many different resolutions, that it is a little bit more complicated. But the good news is that it is rolling out to some devices already. One of those devices, I understand, is the HTC One. That update was released last week. So if you go into your settings, hit software update, and it also depends on the operator you're with. I'm pretty sure across the board, HTC One users can update to KitKat. But others that are going to be getting the update very shortly are Samsung, the Galaxy S4. There is talk that the Galaxy Note 3 may get the update also in the next couple of weeks. Sony users, good news for them, the Xperia Z1 and the Z Ultra are also set to receive the update, according to Sony, within the next couple of weeks as well. LG in the US, I understand, has received an update to the G2. Not sure about if it's going to be released for Australian users of the G2 from LG. Of course, Google's own devices, if you own a Nexus 5, if you own a Moto X, which is going to be released in Australia by the end of the month, which will actually already be running KitKat, but it was released in the US late last year, but just before that update, I think, and that is now updatable as well. So that's as far as we know. If you do own an Android device, the simple thing to do, go into your settings, check for software updates. You may be surprised. There may be a KitKat waiting for you. And that's the end of another show. If you want to look at anything we spoke about on the show, you can head over to techguide.com.au. If you also want to get in touch, you can send us an email, info@techguide.com.au. And be sure, if you want to send us your help desk questions, that's the place to do it. Thanks again to our sponsors, Netgear, Australia's number one Wi-Fi brand. Really great support we're getting from Netgear. Well, that is the end of the show. We've had a terrific time bringing it to you. you. We hope you enjoyed it. We look forward to hearing from you again next week when I'll be able to talk about this event that I'm here in New York to cover, the HTC event. Can't say any more, but next week, episode 90, keep an eye out for it. I'm Stephen Fenech. It's been great having your company. And as we always say, stay safe and stay connected.